Welcome to the Swirl and Sip podcast, where we keep it real, talking about womanhood, parenthood, and marriage. I'm your host, Sasha.
And I'm Sheree. And if this is your first time tuning into us, this is what you need to know about us. We're wives, we're boy moms, and we love wine, though we're not experts. This is Life Uncensored.
So get your wine glasses and your favorite bottle and get ready for today's episode. So welcome to another episode of the Swirl and Sip podcast. We are really excited today. We do have a guest. Her name is Miss Lonnie.
Yes.
So we are very excited about what we're going to talk about. But before we get into any of that, you always know that we have to start each episode with what we are sipping on. And today we are sipping on, should I say that?
You want me to say that's a Remhoots.
Okay, yeah,
we're sipping on a Merlot.
It's Aspect Merlot. Neither Sheree nor I can say what winery it's from. It's Remhoogte. It's them last three letters.
Remhoogte.
Yep. Sure. Yep. So that is what we are sipping on today. And it is, according to the tasting notes on the website, it is dark and brooding. It has ripe currants, again with the currants.
There we go.
Cherries, plums, and it's backed with white pepper and cedar. It's supposed to be full and juicy. It has polished tannins, a lively acidity. Sheree?
Yeah, sure. Let's go with that.
Thoughts?
No, it's got a bite to it. This thing got a bite. Okay, it bites back.
I haven't tasted it yet, so.
Now go ahead and taste it. It bites back. Like Merlot.
Yeah, but this doesn't taste like Merlot.
I know. That's why I stopped and was like,
Yeah. But on the plus side, it is 14.5%. And so that's always Sasha and Sheree approved.
Definitely. Above 13.5, we're good.
So today we are talking with Miss Lonnie Grant. And Lonnie says that she is a transformational coach, and her message is to inspire women around the world to take action and to recapture their power after being broken, which I think is amazing. She actually has this thing called Beauty After Broken that came from her own personal testimony of survival and determination to rise to the top after severe trauma as a child. So Lonnie, thank you so much for being on. We are excited to have you.
Thank you. I'm excited to be on.
We are so, and you're in DC, right?
Yes.
Woohoo!
In the heart of Washington, DC.
Yes, Chocolate City. We love it.
Look, that's my home. That's my hometown. I had to move to the outskirts, but I'm only in Hyattsville. I'm not that far out.
Yeah, you in the city.
Exactly.
I on the other hand, live in Bowie, and we're moving to Edgewater.
By the time this comes out, she's probably going to be in the West Bubble Creek.
No, don't do that.
By a creek.
So I guess tell us a little bit more about what this Beauty After Broken, like how did that come up? How did you think of that? And like, what does that mean to you?
So the Beauty After Broken brand basically came from me not even understanding that I needed healing from my trauma. Like, I think so often as we an adult, we're moving through our life and we see people who kind of showing up differently or showing up broken, we automatically assume that they know. Mm. May not be aware that they're showing up in this manner, maybe because we didn't go through that, or maybe we're at our healing point. But it took for me to say, hey, you know, I'm showing up here. Because, you know, I always tell people, once you realize that so many people are saying the same thing about you, some point you got to say it's you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
It might be you.
So that's when I realized, and I said, hold on, Lonnie, you're showing up in these different spaces like this. Pause. What is going on? And this is literally, I went to bed and I came, like, I had a dream, Beauty After Broken. And I was like, it's time for you to find your beauty, because your life has been centered around trauma. And this is how you're showing up, but you're trying to play victim everywhere because it gets you attention. It feels great. Oh, you know, oh, me, I grew up in a project. Oh, yeah, my mom wasn't there. That gets you attention, but it doesn't necessarily get you to the next level.
That's so powerful. Like, that's so...
Yeah, I'm over here. Look, you don't know, I'm a social worker, but I love this. That's exactly it. Like, I'm a trauma-informed social worker. Mm. That's what I do. So you speak, you over here speaking to me, I'm like, about to have church. I'm over here like, let me just sip my wine. You go ahead.
Do you think that, and I'll let you get into as much as you want to about like how your childhood was, but do you think that that has had an impact on like how you raise your own kids? Or even, I know that you're a dance teacher, and so do you think that the way that you build up your girls in dance, is a lot of that informed by how you were raised as a child?
Yes. I had an uncle who was like very, very strict, very structured. It was a little extreme in certain points. So when you think about your childhood, it's some goodness in it. But then we had some of those other times where it's like, shouldn't have done that kind of thing. So it's hard as you travel into your adult life how to distinguish what was good. Because we all look at the generation now and say, oh, yeah, when I was their age, we do, But in what sense, like, was it good? Was it really good for us kind of thing?
Or was it good just because we said it has to be good because as a child, we want it to be good?
Well, and that's one of the questions that you wanted to ask anyway, was the idea about, we talked about this in one of our season one episodes, the breaking generational curses, right? Yes. And the things that we come up with as kids that we may knowingly or unknowingly pass on to our children, or it affects the way that we parent our children. And so, like you're saying, you know, you've had to relearn that just because this was the way I came up, or these were the things that happened to me, doesn't necessarily mean I have to parent this way.
Yeah, but it takes I think the mind takes a minute to grasp that you have to do something different, because the body, the flow just goes into, without you even knowing, that you're repeating. So like for me, who came from a background of mental, emotional, sexual abuse, you don't realize as a parent that now you have your own, you're looking in the eye lens of a trauma person, trauma kid. So now your kids want to go places and do something, like, nope, can't do this. So now their life will now be centered around your trauma.
Yes.
And their story. This is your story. But because you know somebody didn't protect you, maybe you grew up with neglect, abandonment, our antennas just go up automatically and go into this safety. No, I gotta safeguard them. But actually, honestly, you do more harm.
Yeah.
Because the kid don't even know, your child don't even know, like, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
And especially if you never had that conversation with your child about what happened to you, because so many people want to keep it a secret. Like, I don't want my kid to know I went through that. But reality is, maybe if they were a little bit aware of your story, they can kind of understand, but it still doesn't make it right, because now you're making it, you're traumatizing them without you even knowing it.
Did you have, so how many kids do you have?
I have two, a boy and a girl.
Did you have those conversations with your kids about how, what you went through as a child?
Maybe five years ago when I wrote my book, and that was now when they were in middle school.
Okay.
I didn't even realize I needed healing.
Yeah. That makes so much, and that's so, like, I grew up very privileged, I would say. I've had a very sheltered childhood, but I can see a lot of what you're saying, because my parents grew up in a very, you know, my parents grew up poor. They grew up in New York. They grew up with the mentality, especially my mom, where it was like, you don't ask about certain things. Children stay quiet. You know, she would always tell me, if you ask about sex, the response is you get a backhand and, you know, you get told to shut up and go sit down. And I can see how she tried to change some of that with me by trying to be more open and like not having that experience that she had. Do you think that it's important though, like you said, to have those conversations while you're going through your own healing and realizing what's happening with you, but to have those conversations with your kid, because maybe it gives them,
they don't get it. Yeah, like they don't get it because they don't understand that the reason that you're doing that is to protect them, but in trying to protect them, you've actually like limited them. Like we want to shelter our children. So like you touched on things that I remember, like all of my friends of mine growing up, it's like, no, you can't go over such and such's house. I don't care if there's a parent over there. I don't care. Is there a male there? No.
Yeah, you can't be left alone with a guy.
No, you can't be left alone with a guy. No, I don't care if I've met their parents. Like, they can come over my house and things like that, because you want to protect them. You don't want anything to happen to your children. None of us do.
Yeah. So, but, I guess, how do you think, once you realized like you needed this healing? Well, first of all, did you like seek like professional help for that, or what? Oh, I'm so happy you said that.
Oh, honey, anybody. I believe in God. I'm very in tune to, you know, his will, his purpose for my life, but I understand you have to do the work. Mm. You know, faith without works is dead. He don't have these people on earth for no reason.
Yes.
And what I would say about therapy, because I've went to therapy to different counselors growing up, what I will say, life coaching worked for me.
Mm. Okay.
Because with therapy, everybody experienced different. I know for me, it was becoming like just something to say I went to every week. And, you know, with therapy, what happens is, and as you're a social worker, you probably can, you know, just think about this for a moment. When a kid come in your office, they got 1 hour.
Yep.
And therapy sessions, 1 hour.
Yeah.
When you first get into the sessions and you finally get them to open up, hour is over. So when they leave the office, what tools do they have? Because it's triggering. So if you notice like somebody who go out and repeat stuff over and over and become a repeat offender, we ask ourselves, well, what happened? They just was at so-and-so, but we didn't take the time to realize what was brought up in that session. And how did they leave?
Yeah.
That's exactly it. So as a therapist, that's what I am. And
you
are
having so much fun this episode.
Yes,
you
are just in your zone. I am just over here like, look. But no, that's exactly, you brought it up. It's exactly that. We try our best not to break people or open up these wounds, but that's what it is. You open up wounds and you can't band-aid that thing up.
Well, I'm just gonna say that I'm happy that you, even whether it's life coach or therapy, that you went the professional help route, because I think so many, like, there's such a stigma in like Black and brown communities about and I like that you said, you know, the first thing that you said when I asked the question was that, you know, you believe in God. And I think that's immediately, especially older generations, oh, you just pray about it and God's going to take care of it. But like you said, it's important. Like, there's people here that are meant to help you work through that. And that's the gift that they were given, is to help you work through those things. And like, we try to break the stigma about things like therapy all the time this show. And so I'm so happy that like you even brought that up. How do you think like your experience with a life coach was though? Do you like, how was that different?
I think the difference, what I seen, and actually two of my friends had went, and it was this glow about them. And I knew that they kind of went through the same situations that I went through, mom not being there, leaving through drugs, growing up in the projects. They had the same background. And I'm like, what is this glow? Like, it's a whole inner peace. She gave me the lady's information. And at that time, I was a little naive. I said, does she take Medicaid?
There's nothing wrong with the question.
I was like, I got to ask.
Yep.
I don't think so. So I remember the young lady reached out to me. We did a consultation. She did a free consultation, 2 hour long.
Wow.
I had done all of this therapy work in the past, and I never had anybody to connect the way I was moving to a specific event took place in my life. And I kept saying, wow, she reminded me of Ayala. So that's actually what triggered me into on my journey to say, I need a life coach. I need that. Because what I am doing, this hour here, is bringing up, but I'm leaving just enraged. Mm-hmm. So I remember the young lady telling me, this is my program. It's such a commitment. Like, it really, really is. Like, the tone of the way, you know, we would do our sessions. She introduced me to the essential oils, mm-hmm. how to meditate. I've been in a lot of therapy. I never knew nothing about meditation. I knew nothing about how to realistically journal.
Yeah.
So how to take myself on a date. That was my first homework assignment.
I love that.
Man.
Movies all the time. I go by myself all the time. That's what I thought was a date. It wasn't a date because I wasn't present. Most of the time we go somewhere, what are we doing? On our devices.
Mm-hmm.
A date.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know that. Like, the assignments was tough. And we all know when anytime we're about to start something positive, something about the universe just does, mm-hmm. it just throw a monkey. And she had me to be aware. She said, I want you to understand that you're about to do something different with your body. So something is going to come against it. And mm-hmm. I want you to know it's normal. So when you leave, every time we would leave a session, my instructions was to go straight home. Mm. I could not stop at it. So she would be very intentional about, what does your space look like when you leave here? Do you have somebody, you know, for your kids? My kids are older. She was like, did you already fix dinner? Did you, like, she would make sure of this, because again, we know when you leave places, even like church, you ever gone mm-hmm. to church, you're like, oh, God is good. Then you get at the traffic stop or you go get dinner. Now somebody want to act a fool. Now you, oh, they done got me out of character.
Yes.
Interrupts the pattern. So I noticed I shifted the norm, and it really started for me to say, this is working.
That's awesome. That's so amazing. Yeah. Like, and it, 'cause people don't think about, like, what you're saying, the fact that when you leave a session like that, or after you've had like these things where you're bringing stuff up, you're talking about stuff, your headspace is in such a different space that if you're not coming home to a calming atmosphere,
it's almost like, you know what? I'm doing my yoga teacher training. We just talked about this yesterday. We literally just talked about this yesterday in terms of, there's times when, as you're going through a transformation and learning different things, you're opening yourself up. You are open because you're learning about yourself. You have now opened yourself
to
mentally,
whatever the universe
spiritually,
is going
to
give you.
Universally. And you don't have to set a boundary again. You have to reclose those boundaries and really be intentional about what you do, because otherwise, oh, things are coming your way.
Yeah.
It's like, you're
whatever,
open.
Whatever's going to be there.
Whatever you got. So you need, like the fact that you had a life coach who was very intentional in the way they did everything. I mean, that is amazing. That's amazing that you found something that worked with you, that was working to help you. And you, like, I like that they said it. It's a commitment, because a lot of people think of, you know, when you're doing therapy or you're doing this, it's like, oh, you know, or else
I'll
they
do
hear
my five
like,
sessions,
yeah, they do life coach and it's like, oh, that's just someone who calls me. It's like, no, it's a commitment, because you're doing work. It's tiring.
Do the work. It was draining. I tell anybody, healing is not fun. If you're looking for fun, if you're looking to be excited, that's not it.
Yeah.
It's, again, you're pulling up things. I mean, even, you know, I remember one session where she decided she had moved from this area, moved on the West Coast, and was like, hey, I'm going to call you on the phone. Because I had had a lot of abandonment, the moment I picked up the phone, I had an attitude. Mm-hmm. I was salty, but she felt it. But she was like, you're not present. I am present. I am. I'm on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, and she can feel, and she's like, what's going on? But I had to go back to the inner child, because the inner child in me was coming up to say, Lonnie, she's doing something different. She abandoned you. So I had to easily make the connection and say, and go back and say, little Lonnie, she's not doing that. She has to challenge you to come out of that abandonment space. But it took a minute, because that's what I would do. I would get friendship, relationships. So anytime it looked like I wasn't included or somebody left me out, I will put up the wall and say, well, I don't need them anyway. I can do this and I can do that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I would blame them. Oh, they the one that did it. But it was me. It was the inner child that I was allowing to take over my adult me.
You
so
are just
I have
speaking.
To check her.
So much truth. It is just so much truth. Like, it's,
like, I want you to understand.
I can see that, like, how if you're used to people always leaving in your life, and the minute, even when you're going through a good
thing. I'll leave you before you leave
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you're going through this good thing. Like, you know, you clearly knew this woman is trying to help you. And like,
but her move was, all right,
you just cool. Leaving me now. Like, this what we doing? All
we
right,
don't even
cool.
Allow ourselves to hurt. And like, that's when we talk about raising kids, and like, we talk about it all the time when we say both of us have sons, and we're like trying to teach them to feel and mm-hmm. be okay with their feelings. And that's one of the things that we have to be able to say, sweetie, it's okay to be sad. It's okay if you have to cry. We don't allow ourselves to hurt. We don't allow ourselves to say, damn, I mean, I really wish you were still here, like where I could see you, but you're not. But we don't know how to say that. It's easier to just be like, man, F nope. you, whatever.
And you know what? That's what, and I can get like, oh, whatever. You know, she's steady talking about some be present. I'm like, I ain't got time to be present. What you talking about? Present, present what? And she's like, I feel the disconnect. I feel what's happening, the shift. And that's why I tell anybody, like, that process was not pretty.
Yeah.
It's pretty. And that's why the whole thing, the beauty after broken, you will get to your beauty. But in the process happens every day. So even though I finished my sessions and, you know, I had to really celebrate myself, because I didn't know how to celebrate myself. I think we do. Oh, I do that. I buy clothes all the time. But we really don't know how to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned all of that. And now every day I do something different to celebrate just little stuff. Like, Lonnie, you was, even though you got triggered, you went back to your toolbox, looked in your toolbox and said, okay, how do I turn this? Like, I'm more aware of when I'm triggered. And I didn't know. I would just spaz out. And I'm like, even in my business, I'm like, I can't do that any longer. I have to give that duty to someone else because that triggers me.
Yeah, yes. That makes so much sense, though. Do you think that having gone through that experience change the way that you deal with your kids or interact with your kids?
That's exactly what I was about to ask. I was about to ask, how did that change, or how did that affect?
Because
or
you said you have older kids, and so, and we both said we have these little kids, and we want to teach them that, you know, to feel things, it's okay to be present in your emotions, is okay.
And but also not to like spaz out. Spazzing out ain't always the answer. It might sometimes be the answer. We ain't saying that's never the answer, but.
Yes. down again.
It don't need to be the first answer.
Get to it. But I think for me, because I grew up in a more environment where there's a lot of hostile. It was hostile. You know, it taught me how to be angry. It taught me how to cuss people off. So I think for me, with my kids, I'm like, I ain't gonna never cuss at. You know, sometimes we only concentrate on one. So here's the deal. With my mom, she was a drug addict. She left. So I told myself, never do drugs. I'm not going to do that. But what about the other stuff? I forgot about that part. I forgot about manipulation. I forgot about the mental. I forgot about those because we get so concentrated on one area. So, no, I didn't do drugs. No, I didn't cuss out my kids. But the conversations I've had with my kids was like, Mom, you was just, you know, didn't let us do stuff, or mentally you made me like I'm big on activities, and sometimes we all are, but then we don't know when we're pushing too much. Don't know this. So I had to learn to now hear them out. Now I'm having more conversations, checking in with them. I wasn't doing that. I was raised in that, oh, you don't ask me nothing. It's do. Just do it.
Yes.
Do as I say. I told you, like I was going to say, like I'm in, I got you in activities because you got them in activities to keep them busy, to keep them safe. But you're like, I said so.
Yeah,
that's
like,
the reason why.
Why do I have to do? Because mommy
because
says
I
so.
Said
yeah,
so.
Like,
and
not,
that's
the only reason. That's,
like, I don't need any reason beyond I said so because I said do it. And it's like what you've talked about is exactly what we're trying to get to. Like as they get older, it's like, all right, maybe I don't need to. I do need to hear you out. What is it that you feel? Do you like this? Do you want this?
Do you think that your kids have changed the way that they interact with you since you've gone through your healing process?
I see a difference a lot where the communication has opened up. There's still some areas that I want to see improvement and teaching them about self-care. Like I'm teaching them more things. Again, I wish I had. I wish I would have known about that I needed healing a long time ago. How to journal, how to take care of self, how to, the power of no. I didn't know that. So again, so I see the shift of them not feeling like I gotta be validated. So it has been and it's still a work in progress because we talk about years of trauma.
Yeah.
Years of me parenting out of trauma. So now I happen to give them this new mom.
That's awesome though. Like I feel like that's such a way to like love your kids though. To know that because of how you were parented and you don't want to be that for your kids and to say, to like really look at yourself and say, I need to fix me so that way my kids can have the best version of a mom. Like that is just like such a powerful, in my opinion, it's such a powerful way to like love your kids. Like, cause we're, none of us are perfect. No. We have no idea what the hell we're doing when it comes to parenthood.
I mean, there's no booklet. There's nothing. I mean, like you went from a survive versus thrive. Basically that's what you went through. You're like, all right, instead of survival and this in survival mode, because you got to do it. It's like, no, actually, I want us to be happy while we do it.
Yeah. And you have to include them in the process too of your healing.
Yeah.
I think sometimes it's sort of like relationships too, but let me get myself together. But what does that look like for the spouse or the people around you? How do they care for you? Because they don't know the tools. They don't know what's happening. So if kids feel included in the process of what that healing looks like for you or what you just didn't have. Some people, you know, sometimes, and then you could be honest with your kids. I can't give that because I don't have the capacity. It's just, you don't. Sometimes people, I think we want to pretend as we have it. And some of us, honestly, even if you grew up in a two-parent household, whatever the case may be, our children come different to us. They're different. And sometimes the needs that they have, you have to be okay to say, I don't have the capacity right now. However, I'm working on this to be able to open the door to get the capacity. Because we, like you said, there's no books to this, no nothing. But if you standoffish and oh well and this and that, now that creates the friction. Now that creates another generational curse. Being passed on is not being addressed without just saying, hey, I just didn't have the capacity to love. You know, I didn't grow up hugging. Every 5 minutes, my kids, they be like, if you say I love you one more time, I didn't have it. I had to get the capacity to even say the words because, again, I didn't have the foundation of what love looked like.
I just think you are just dropping all these gems.
Like, knowledge. Like
because, like, parenthood, this idea of parenthood sometimes is that we don't do those things with our kids. We're not supposed to be vulnerable with our children. We're not supposed to tell them if mommy or if mommy or daddy are struggling. Like if we don't know how to do that. I don't know how to handle you right now when you act like this. I don't know how to like we don't have to.
We're supposed to be okay with every feeling that they have while still knowing that we don't have feelings. Knowing that I have if this little human, because that's what they are, if this tiny human was not my child, I would have a feeling. Like my child today like threw a tantrum and I was like, I don't really much like you, but I can't tell him I don't like him, but I still gotta love him through this. So we have to recognize those feelings.
You really do, and not hide them. And one of the things I wanted to say when you said that, it made me think of, especially for our females, our daughters, for me, when you think about the breakdown with your circle, your girlfriends, and you see people showing up the way they show up, and you're like, why they show up? I always tell people, do an inventory of the relationship they have with their mom. Mm-hmm. For me, if the first woman that was supposed to show me a healthy relationship with a woman, she abandoned me. She went to the street. She went to drugs. How do I show up in spaces with other healthy women if I don't know what that looks like? So even though you might have had a caretaker to take you in, remember, it's the same thing as a male. The first male that was supposed to show you that it was a disconnect. Once the umbilical cord is cut, it's cut, but you're waiting for the nurture. You know, the moment you the umbilical cord is, you want to hold, that's when that connection is still there. But if the connection is gone and it aborts, now that this a little baby start going into her teen and adult life with women, how do you show up healthy?
I don't think you can. Lord, you like
I've never
you,
thought
I've,
about
I've
that.
Never thought of,
like I've never been like, oh, she hates her mother. That's probably why
like,
she's
I'm sitting here like therapeutically. I'm sitting here like, oh, I gotta go and research some more of this because this is amazing. Like, no, you're dropping real gems.
Is this what you do like as a transformational coach?
Yeah, so now I just think deeper. Now I look at people deeper. So when people show up in different capacities, because of course I have my dance program. So now I look at moms different. Where at first they was my biggest issue. I would always say, oh my God, these parents, you know, I just want to train their kids and they come in with all this stuff. But one of the things I realized with my own healing, they're struggling. They're struggling. You know, for me, I now have healthy boundaries that I set for my program, my business. I'm a person of order. So I'm like, hey, they have to be here at this time. They have to show up in this uniform. So when I get the backlash or the confrontation from their mom, oh, why she can't just have this? I recognize somewhere you have always gotten your way. Didn't show up for you. So sometimes when they're going back and forth with me, I'm saying, is it you going back and forth with me or who did it beyond me.
Mm. Ooh, you.
Never the person. So then when I talk to the person that way, they look at it different. They're like, oh my goodness. I said, remember, I teach, even though I teach dance, I teach life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I teach life. So I can't allow her to show up in my space out of order. Now, that may work for your household where you guys are always in a rush and all of that. I can't do that because it triggers me.
Mm-hmm.
It sets my anxiety. Everything I do now, I consider my mental health first.
Mm.
Even connections, people reach out. Hey, girl, can you do this? I'm like, what does that look like for my mental health? Many partnerships, I don't do anything unless it works for my mental health.
So love that. I like so.
Like, I'm sitting here like, ooh.
Because we don't think about that. Like, there's like, no. So many times where we think about trying to be a good friend or yes. being a good partner
or being a good worker or and being so a hard worker.
And so the answer immediately is, can you sure. do this? Okay. Like, yeah. of course I would. Because if I say no, then what, you know, what are they going to think about me? Or what does that mean about me as a friend or partner? Whereas opposed to like, and that's, I think it goes back to what you were talking about, really like truly looking at self-care. That is part of it, as you know, by being asked to do something, what does me doing that look like for me mentally? If I do this, am I truly taking care of myself by doing this? Because if the answer is no,
then you don't need to be doing it.
And by having and a good friend will understand that.
And a lot of people don't like to think like that means that you're going to lose some friends.
Now.
That means that that opportunity that you thought was perfect for you might not be so great. But I mean, like, you are dropping full gems.
We could continue to talk about this for a long time, and I don't want our episode to be like hours and hours long. So I'm just going to ask you, if you had, just to kind of wrap it up, if you could give one piece of advice for people who may have been in similar situations mm-hmm. growing up in this place of trauma and who are trying to move past that, who may be having kids now, what do you think is the best piece of advice or like the one thing that you wish you knew early on that has helped you that could probably help them?
It's understanding that, yes, you were a victim, were past tense. How do you get from still living as a victim and doing a self-evaluation? Examine all your relationships and saying, okay, these two friends are saying this about me, and this is always coming up. I tend to not be in a lot of romantic relationships. I tend to bounce around. If you go and do that self-examination, what is the common denominator, right? So then you can kind of go and move from there and say, okay, then my kids are saying the same. Mommy, you're mean. You're doing this. Mm. Are you hearing the same mm-hmm. thing? Mm-hmm. And this is when you can move forward and say, hey, maybe I have some baggage that I didn't release. And what do I need to do? What are the next steps? And what this look like? So now I'm aware. I've done a whole evaluation. What are the next steps? Owning it. Not that's feeling like, oh, I'm a bad person. No, just own. Mm-hmm. That's what my bag looks like right now.
Mm-hmm.
If I do not unpack this bag, I'm going to be carrying 5 more bags.
Mm.
So it only gets worse if you don't address it. Get the bag, unload it, start to work on you, and that way you can show up different. But if it's all the time, it's never me. Mm. It's never me.
That means it's you.
you have to take, even for me now, even in certain relationships, I don't say, oh, this person did this to me. No, they didn't do it to me. Let's check me first.
Mm.
How did I show up?
Mm.
And did I allow it? Because people cannot do what you don't allow.
Yes.
Yes. Sorry.
So So I think that is the perfect gem to end the episode. People cannot do what you do not allow them to do.
Amen.
So I just want to thank you so much for being on our episode with us. You can find Miss Lonnie on her dance stuff. Her dance pictures are amazing. Like you are gorgeous in these photos, I might say.
Yes.
But she's on Instagram at Dynasty Institute. And we just want to thank you so much for coming on. So our listeners out there, of course, if you would like to dive deeper in this topic, we always encourage you to have this conversation. I'm sure we are having a conversation right now on Instagram about the episode. You can find us at Swirl and Sip Podcast. If you have questions for Miss Lonnie or you want to talk to us, if you have opinions about the episode, feel free to email us. You can do so at hello@swirlandsippodcast.com. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you please do us the favor. If you like the episode, if you like what we talk about, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. Those are the two important ones, the rating and the reviewing.
Please.
Please do that for our podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, all major podcast platforms. And make sure that you have your wine glass ready for next week's episode.
So y'all have a good evening.
Thanks. Bye.